July. Anyway, there's no quorum for this meeting. It's a task force, so there's no penalty if you miss a meeting or anything. It's just okay.
Correct.
All right. So
we were thinking on these task force things, instead of trying to get a whole subcommittee together, let's just start sending each other emails about things we're interested in and have ideas about. And if other people want to work on that, they'll answer us with other emails. And if nobody ever answers, we just aren't going to consider that topic. But
okay, Alan, I think that's a very good idea that we need to communicate with each other. There's one very important issue here. We have an election that's going on, and we don't have the election committee meeting, and they need to meet. So I put some ideas there for agenda items for pertaining to the election and to another referendum should we have. And I did not hear the PNB meeting last night. If the new bylaw amendment notice last night was, I didn't hear it. I just heard the chair say,
I think I heard it, and I think they did take whatever is the appropriate action for the board to get going on that election.
Did anybody, was it read, the new bylaw amendment? I have no idea what it is.
I think this is the one, it's not a bylaw amendment, it's an amendment of the Articles of Incorporation to say that no bylaw can be adopted which would put a director in who had not been elected. He could not just be named in the amendment. He would have to be elected by either the listeners or some membership group. And that's the only way people could get on the board, is by being elected by some group.
Okay. Does anybody, one of the national directors, was that was discussed? That was already on the, that was already decided, this Articles of Incorporation. So was there something new that was presented that has something to do about elections?
Well, I don't claim to understand it all, but I thought
Alan,
some action by the board had to be taken. Maybe it was voting that had been passed by the individual LSBs, but something was done last night. I heard some feeling satisfied they were somewhere.
Okay, Alan, let some PNB director announce that if, since you don't know and I don't know, does anybody else know? William, did you hear? I mean, no, let me just say. Vanessa, I think you're the only national director on tonight, and Tom, Beth is here. Is there anything that I put on the agenda that was already covered by what happened last night?
Not to my knowledge.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying it wasn't, but I am saying not to my knowledge.
Okay, all right. The election committee has not met, and I think we have, I think Vanessa's on it. I think, Beth, are you on it?
No. Vanessa's not on the election committee.
How about Tom or William or Alan? Are y'all on the elections committee?
I didn't know there was an elections committee. I don't think that the governance committee can make subcommittees. The bylaws prohibit that.
No.
Excuse me, William here. There is supposed to be a PNB elections committee, and I'm supposed to be on it, but as far as I know, we haven't.
Well, go read the bylaws. They say we can't make ourselves a subcommittee. Only
Alan,
the national board can do that.
Alan, We have two members of the PNB Elections Committee. So I would like to recommend that this task force, wouldn't it be nice if those two would contact Otis, get the list of the names of the election committee, and y'all convene a meeting, because two members can do it. And this Elections Committee, the last time they met was, I think, January of 2017. So it's been a long, long, long time, and I'm sure the elections.
I don't think there is any such elections committee. Where,
yes, there
where
is.
You,
Alan,
in
there,
the
is. There is. Yes, there is. Yes. Okay. And we have members. So William and Vanessa are on this task force. So, William,
committee.
Do y'all think y'all could convene? Or if you cannot, ask one of the other members. You'll have to get with Otis to know who's on it.
Vanessa is not on the elections committee.
Oh, you're not. Oh, shoot. Who is?
I don't believe Lauren, there is an elections committee. Where do you where do you find
it? I wish you'd stop saying that. I wish you'd stop saying that. This is William. There is an election committee. It has always been an election committee. If it hadn't met last year, so be it. But I've been elected.
Who created it? Not in the bylaws.
I've been elected by my LSB to be on the elections committee. Now, if
you were elected by whom?
My local station board. And you haven't been paying attention, apparently, for too many years. So just stop saying.
Well, a local station board. which
station
board was it?
Me to the National Elections Committee, just like I've been nominated to the National or elected.
There is no National Elections Committee. Find it in the bylaws.
It
isn't there.
You're misinformed, whoever you are. And if you keep on talking, I'm going to get off the phone because I don't take misinformation lightly. You're just misinformed.
Well, tell me where I find it, and I'll go look it up.
I'm off the phone. Sorry. This man just is insufferable.
Hey.
Sorry.
Okay.
This is James joining the call. So glad to hear all the yelling.
Okay.
Hi, James.
Alan,
hello.
Okay. We have Alan Beek and William. I think William just stepped off. I'm not sure if he's still there. And Nancy's here. Wally. Hello? Who's that?
I just said I think he did. He said he was, and I heard the click.
Okay. 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 And so Wally James, Vanessa Dixon-Briggs, Elizabeth Van Gutten, Tom might have left already, but he was here earlier. And James Sagerton. Okay, so
hi all, thank you, Nancy.
Who's that?
I said hi all, thank you, Nancy.
Okay, all right. So we have okay. And Bill was here earlier, but then he left right away after we. Anyway, so wouldn't it be a good idea this task force if we asked our delegates at least two or one of the PMB directors. Or a combination of both, to get with Otis and get the list of all the emails and the phone numbers of the Elections Committee. Susie Moreno and Bill Crozier are representing KPFT as delegates. I don't know. I think it's Sandra Rawlins who's on the Elections Committee. So just two can convene it. Just get together. So do I have a volunteer? I mean, William is ready and... They really need to meet because the election's going on right now, and they need to be able to put input. And even they can even help the election national election supervisor greatly with all kind of details. Elections is a fun committee, but they'll go, but I think they need to start. They need to convene, and so William's on the election committee. James, are you on the election committee?
No, I was on a few years ago. I don't remember exactly when, but I would add that the elections committee, I think, really stopped meeting because the election supervisors had great authority, and it kind of overpowered the election committees. They didn't seem to have anything to contribute because the election supervisors were empowered to such an extent. But I do recall seeing... I think it was possibly the NES, but maybe it was somebody speaking sort of on behalf of the NES saying that there's lots of work to do in this election and it would be helpful to have an election committee to be supporting them.
Yes. So let's urge whoever our delegates are that were elected. And I think I will ask Otis to send the list to whoever's on there so they can get together and hurry up and have a meeting. And I had sent some some, you know, agenda items. I don't know if you had time to look at them, about just some ideas, and we could look over those, and whichever is good and whichever is bad, take off, and we can hand it over to the elections committee to start doing things. I mean, like, when I was on the elections committee, we said, okay, bright yellow, so they can find it in the mail if there's paper ballots. I mean, little things like that, or bulk rate for paper instead of first class. It takes a little bit longer time, but it's cheaper. And then I put in the, I don't know, I can't find it now, but I put in one idea is to not hire an expensive election company to count the ballots, but to do it virtually. And I did not see the paper ballot count that happened last week, I think it was. Some of you may have been on that Zoom meeting, but they showed each ballot, and then they showed as it would have been in the olden days when we were just standing at a distance and watching everybody open those envelopes and then feed them and show, you know, feed them into a scanner. And then on a monitor screen, we were taking pictures of each ballot. This is what happened in 2010, and Renee was the NES at that time. Anyway, so what do y'all think? Those things I mentioned on there, what did I put? Let me see. No? Okay, I just sent the minutes. That's Bill wanted to see the minutes of our last meeting. We didn't get to do much. We just, you know, met and then decided we're going to talk about these things later.
Nancy, this is James with a question.
Yes, James. Go ahead.
Can you tell me, is the agenda that you sent out, is it in the email or is it in the texts?
It's in email. Okay,
do you have to recall about when you sent it?
Yes, let me see. I sent at 7:35 p.m. the minutes. Oh, dear. Did I use the minutes? Yeah, that was the minutes. But I sent the agenda earlier. Let's see, agenda. Let's see, let me look at sent. Okay, I sent the agenda at 6:18 Eastern time, 6:18. And it says governance, PNB governance bylaw revisions, time sensitive, task force, July 16, Friday.
That's this evening?
Yeah, this evening. Okay, and I'm going to read it. Did Janine make it, Janine Ron, because she's the official secretary of this? Okay, I don't think she got, she's on.
I don't think I have it. So
okay, I'm going to resend. I'm going to resend right now.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Are you sending it to the whole list? Because I want to make sure I got one. Thank you, Alan Bates.
Yes, and I sent to all the LSBs. Because we had agreed to invite the LSBs to join the task force. And then after I sent it, I realized that Maestro only has up to 25 people. So we may have to meet by Zoom next time if we have more than 25 people. And Otis told me Pacifica does have a Zoom thing. We just need a host. Okay, I'm going to read the agenda. The voting methods concerning a referendum. If we could think about, you know, before signing the petition for the next referendum, there should be maybe required debates on the air at all five stations. And then how many debates and what times of the day or the weekend. And then announcements of these debates 1 week in advance with call-ins. And how much time should we recommend for call-ins? And then... number two, I put petitioners must register online with Pacifica to check that they are actually members. I put that down. And then the e-blast must be equal amount for one side or the other. And we did not have that happen in this last referendum. And then e-blast must be reviewed and approved by both sides and by the NES and maybe a volunteer judge group before sending. These e-blasts, I'm sure nobody checked them over before they went out. They just went out like, you know, laissez-faire, whatever I want. And then the e-blast cannot ask for donations. I don't know if this is violation of somebody's rights to buy, you know, to ask for money and to get money. So, but if the NES has some, and then maybe a volunteer judges have some say-so that they don't find that appropriate, I need to ask the committee, you know, because I don't know. And one time I asked that to Bill Crozier, and he told me it's against the law. You have to allow, you know, private groups to ask for money and do mailers. And anyway, that was a long, long time ago when we had that discussion. And the members are asked to make a special email address or code. I'm not sure if that's a good idea or not, but I thought so many emails have been collected during this past referendum, and maybe we need to protect the privacy of our membership because so many of them were called too by telephone. Their telephone numbers were not held sacred and private. You know, we have a lot of things that election committee could go over. And then I put on number 8, Pacifica conducts a survey and asks the members if they want a referendum and if they want to ask questions that can be used in the debates. And then number 9, the election committee could think about whether or consider whether the household extra ballot should stop and everybody be required to do a single ballot. Anyway, I just put these ideas out. I really have not had any time to look over them, but I think election committee could consider these things and make a better suggestion or recommendations.
This is James for the TAC.
Yes, James. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have a question. First, I don't seem to still see an agenda, so I don't know what happened there. But I don't want to distract you with that. You know, kind of want to take you off a roll here. But I'm just, this is a question. Are you suggesting these things that we should suggest to the elections committee? Are you suggesting
yes.
these things as something that should be incorporated in a bylaws amendment, which is, I thought, what we're supposed to be doing here?
Well, yes, plus we had agreed at last year that anything time-sensitive or urgent things, we could also put on the task force, it was called a subcommittee at that time, but anyway,
right.
We could also entertain. And so since we have an election coming so soon, I just sent it, and I sent it to all the boards. Oh, I did not write all the emails of the this time when I sent, I did not write all the different WBAI members. Okay, let me.
Oh, don't worry about it. You can't do it now in the middle of the meeting. Don't worry about it.
Let's see. Okay. All right. Where was I reading? Okay. Voting by paper ballot. Maybe I correct. Did I say these already? Campaign carts. Oh, yeah. Okay. For the campaign carts, maybe they should have a rule that these card schedule must be given and printed somewhere so everybody can see it. So we don't have to be listening all the time. We can check it and make sure that the cart is played, of the candidate carts. I'm sorry, I should have said candidate carts. And there is an automatic system that costs a little bit that a long ago 2016 LES suggested. And I just found the her report, the LES report of 2016 at KPFD, and I don't know. Anyway, it's in there where she said there's a way that you don't have to depend on the programmer to click the campaign card because that gets messy if they forget or they play it 2 or 3 times. I mean, all kind of things happen, but if it's an automatic system that you pay a little bit for and it will do it fairly, so the programmers don't have to worry about that. Let's see. Okay. I said all these other things. And, oh, yes, this Otis suggested to me. All election postings should be archived. All the statements, all the complaints, all the, you know, how things turned out, the report. We have never done that. And it really is important what Otis said. He said, yeah, have these people's statements stuck on the archive so they have to live up to it and people can see what they promised they were going to do. And let's see, maybe I shouldn't have said Otis's name. Anyway, I thought it was a really good idea. Plus, we'll be able to see all the complaints that happen at each election, and we can learn from them and try to improve so they don't happen again. Okay. Anybody, please speak. I've spoken enough.
Well, this is Alan Beek. I think those are all good and interesting ideas, but it takes some kind of organized thing to consider using them and how to use them and who's going to make sure they're being used fairly. And that's a big job. We would certainly have to have a fairly sizable task force to work on that, or committee, as the case may be. I think
so
we should put that on our agenda for creating it or considering it.
Anybody else? Vanessa? Beth? I don't think Tom is here. Okay. Who would like to make a suggestion so how we get this election committee started so they can meet right away and start working? I will contact my two delegates on KPFT, and I think it's Sandra. Would you all try to contact, because I don't know who they are.
I think a letter, an email to the entire governance committee saying that we have this need and asking that those who are interested in working on it should contact us and I suppose give the secretary's address or say just tell all of us that they're interested.
Well, no. You have to be elected to this committee. It's a national committee, and we have two delegates and one PNB director per station. So the secretary, the LSB secretary, they know who is supposed to be on there, and Otis is supposed to have a list. If those election secretaries, if the LSB secretary sent it to, and I think Nancy Sorden was the secretary at the beginning of this year, so she might have gotten them. I don't know. See, I don't know. Paulina came in later, so I don't think she got everything. So can we be a little busy to, can I get volunteers to, or how shall we do this?
I just want to let you know, as I recall, when we were assigning committee memberships to the PNB members at the beginning of the year, the elections committee, for reasons I explained when I spoke earlier, which has kind of fallen out of favor or functionality, is maybe a better way to say it. I'm thinking that the elections committee may not have a full complement of PMB members on it. And I don't know if even all of the LSBs elected the proper number of people, but I just don't recall that. So, I think your suggestion that you go to Otis and see what he's got is a good one. And, William is, as he pointed out, is on that committee, elected by the LSB of WBAI. So I guess, he already is aware.
Okay. Shall I do this? How about this task force? Do you think it's a good idea if one of us ask Otis to, if he has the list of all the election committee delegates and the PNB directors? And I saw at one time a list, and I thought Vanessa and Lawrence were on the National Elections Committee. So I may be mistaken, because Vanessa said no, she wasn't. So is it okay if I – what is the best way?
Nancy, this is James again.
Yes, go ahead, James.
Do you have posting privileges on KPFTX?
Yes, I do.
I'm not even sure if you need them, but if you go to KPFTX and you go to the, I think you have to go to the committee list, you know, there's the public-facing calendar list, and then there's the actual calendar that looks like a calendar page, and then there's the committee list page that you can get to from the calendar page. And on that page, it tells you the list of the people that are on the committee. So you should be able to get it there. I'm not promising you that it's up to date, but I would check there first.
It's not there because the elections committee is not meeting. If the election committee were meeting, you would just have to click committee members, and you would have a list of all of them. But it's not there.
And okay, and you checked that, I assume, right? Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So I think you're right that the secretary is supposed to send that to Otis, and it should have happened regardless of whether they've been convened or met. He should have gotten the potential members at the beginning of the year. So I don't know what happened to that.
Okay. Does anybody on this committee have some more suggestions about elections? You know, when I was on the election committee, we met with the NES. We told her problems that were happening so she could address them quicker. And then we would ask questions, and the NES would give us answers. This is a much better thing to start up. Plus, we got ideas. Good ideas to make it a better and better election. More people in it is, plus it's required by the bylaws anyway.
This is
okay.
Beth.
I don't hear any. Yes, Beth, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm still pretty new to this process. I was elected during the last election cycle, and this is the first one I'm observing not as a candidate. So there's a lot of it. It's complicated, and there's a lot of it that gets past me. But so far, my impression is that the problem is not that we don't have enough rules. It's the problem is compliance, is gaining compliance with the rules that are there now, and verification that things that are supposed to happen actually did happen, or that violations that were made were actually reported and then followed up on. And I would think that should also be a function of an elections committee, would be to oversee compliance with the existing rules. And it is a little distressing to hear that this far into this, a year as complicated as this one, that an elections committee that supposedly exists hasn't convened yet. That's a problem. And we should follow up on it and see to it that they do convene. I remember from last winter's election cycle that when it came to PNB committees, I was urged a few times over I was nominated without even asking me. I was nominated for the elections committee, and I was already, you know, I was already spread so thin, I knew I wouldn't be able to do justice to it, especially because it's so complicated. It really needs someone who can focus on that. So I do remember with certainty that there is such a committee, and I haven't heard of it convening either. So it does sound like Otis is the place to start.
Okay.
Otis,
so I know Janine, Ron, Paulina, go ahead.
No, I was saying Otis and or Paulina, one of them should have a comprehensive list of who was elected.
Yes, I think the PNB has made a failure in not keeping this like last year. They did not meet, and they could have met on an off election year. That's the best time for the elections committee to meet instead of being frazzled and, you know, deadlines. So anyway, that's spilled milk. I can't do anything about that. So, okay. All right. They need to meet. So I will ask, is that okay with the committee? If you all try to find out, or how shall we do best that I ask Otis and Paulina? And if I get a dead end, I'll go to the secretaries of each board. And then y'all know that this is happening, so you can urge them. This has to be done right away. They need to be meeting because August 15th, the ballots go out.
And so, Beth, with another suggestion?
Yes, go ahead, Beth.
I know that committee membership records at KPFK this year have been a little hit and miss, to put it diplomatically. But that another possible reliable record might be the teller, Terry Goodman, who conducted the election, because he's so meticulous about everything he does. And I'm guessing that he will have kept a record of that. So he will have the official count of who was and wasn't elected to that. I don't know whether it got reported and compiled or registered or, you know, administered in any way beyond that. But I know there was an outcome there, and I'll bet he's good for it if you ask him.
Yes, and I heard him report it, and I wrote down notes, and I thought I wrote you and Janine on the elections committee, but maybe not. Because I think I saw Lawrence, and I thought Vanessa was on too, and Sandra. So I don't know. My mind, I can't find that list anywhere. All right. So I will check with Otis and Paulina. If they don't have it, I'll go to the secretaries of the five boards and to Mr. Terry Goodman and find who they are. Okay. Does anyone? Okay. We had things on our agenda from July 7th. And we did not touch them at all. We just met and then decided to make the next meeting tonight, the date. And we did not touch those things. And those things were like to help in case we have another referendum. Can we start thinking about how to protect Pacifica in the best way, do another referendum? Like requiring debates on the air before we even start taking petitions, signatures. And that the signatures, I think I'm repeating myself. I think I already read this. Instead of some group collecting signatures, the signatures have to be collected through Pacifica. Isn't that a better idea? What do you think? So we won't have these Jane Fondas clicking, yes, I want to save Pacifica. Okay.
There are other legal issues at stake in this about
yes.
how signatures are collected that may yet surface in sorting out the referendum that just happened or what may follow next, and that has to do with California law, and it may be a little over our heads for this committee at the moment to deal with. We would need those laws in front of us, and I don't have them at the moment.
You're saying California Corporation for Nonprofit? What's the name of that thing, Death?
The California Corporations Law. Code.
Yeah, okay, that's right, code. Okay. And also, there was one other thing we were supposed to check. A motion in the governance committee was about. Let's see, what did I do? It was about open meetings in no recordings of audio or video are permitted at the KPFA LSB meetings, and they voted on this in August of 2018, and I thought, you know. What we decided in the governance committee is to check with the California Corporation Code to see if video recordings are allowed or required. And anyway, to look further for more detail of the word open. You know, these meetings are supposed to be open. So we need to check for that, too. That's missing. Anyway, that was a substitute motion Eileen made, and I remember that. Okay, that LSB will not be meeting this month. I think they'll be meeting next month. Okay, so we have a lot of things to do. Is there any other things that people, like the telephone numbers, you have some ideas about how we can keep telephone numbers safe?
Nancy, I have a question about the last point you made.
Yes, go ahead.
and it's maybe irrelevant, but where are the KPFA meetings actually held? Is it in the KPFA building?
No, they're doing by virtual. All the stations are doing virtually.
Ah, yes. So they don't even, but when they convene in person, do they meet in the building?
I don't know what building. It's some kind of building. I don't think it's the station. It's some other address. I don't really know. I'm sorry. I should not answer.
Okay, but so I think virtually then something that is announced as a public meeting where the public is allowed to attend, anything that's public can be filmed or recorded by anyone. So if you could imagine, let's say a news media outlet wanted to send reporters to a KPFA meeting, it's absurd to think that they could block coverage of their meeting by the news media. In the same token, any private person can also record or videotape or, you know, whatever, digitally tape a meeting as long as it's public. And the only thing that KPFA can do, and I guess that we would have to question that within Pacifica, is say that their station won't provide a recording. They won't record it and then provide it or archive it, you know, and make it part of their permanent record. I guess there's some argument maybe that they can do that, but they can't stop the public from going in. I mean, this is free speech. This is, we talked about this before. This is the essence of something being public. People can record it. No question.
Well, that's not what we voted on, the substitute motion, which was to check and research the California Corporation Code to see what it says about open meetings and recordings. And I in my motion, my original motion, I put California state recording, I think it's law about recording, that any governmental, you know, group of California has to allow recording. I mean, it's just
right,
the,
but
the
we
law.
We established in that discussion that Pacifica is not a governmental group. It's a private group, but they have open meetings to comport with the CPB requirement, the open meeting requirements of CPB, and the definition of an open meeting is that anybody can walk in. Any member of the public can walk in. They don't even have to identify themselves.
Yes, but the committee decided to check for sure at the California Corporation.
Well, that's fine. I have no problem with people checking, but I think they're going to find that, you know, the First Amendment of the United States Constitution says you cannot stop things from being recorded. I mean, there are certain exceptions.
And also,
but
yes,
this is,
and
not
at that
one
same
of them.
Meeting, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Tom Voorhees also brought up the point in that governance committee meeting what we had, that the PNB virtual meeting, the Zoom meeting, should be put somewhere so people can see it, or the public can join the Zoom meeting. If it's a large enough account, you know, it can hold that many people. I don't know how big the Pacifica Zoom account is. You know, some are 300 people, some are 100, some are, you know, that one lady has 300. I think the account we're using at KPFT, 300 people can join. Do I have any opinion about that, having a place to... See, I don't know the logistics, if it's even possible now to... Otis said he cannot store video.
I have an opinion to share, but I'll let anybody else speak who hasn't.
Well, I know you have to be careful if anything in the meeting is discussed concerning the questioning the capability or the performance of your employees. You can't say anything that could be used to damage that employee in other circumstances. That must be kept suppressed.
Yes. Are you finished, Alan?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, personnel. We don't want any more lawsuits. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea, and of course we should be preserving our meetings and whatever way we have to accomplish that. If Otis is not able to do that on KPFTX, there should be some other kind of an archive where we can keep these meetings, because this is the format we're using now, and we need to have a record available. And as long as we've got a recorded digital record like a Zoom meeting, I don't know the ins and outs of Zoom, and whether they own the meeting or whether we own the meeting, the Zoom meeting content. But I think, yes, absolutely, we should do that, and we should store it. And it kind of goes along with the questions that Eileen Rosen was raising earlier on the committee about a repository for documents, a place where people can go look up minutes, where they can look up in a chronological way the resolutions of the PNB and the policies of the PNB. It's all of a piece where we need organizational record keeping that we have been pretty poor at, and it should be done in an accessible way, of course.
I would like to comment on that. I think that there are many questions that come up that we will deal with concerning the way we proceed and go about doing our business, and we make decisions from time to time about we shall do this and we shall not do that. And those things pile up, and pretty soon you have something as big as a volume of the encyclopedia that is all full of all your directives about how you conduct yourself. And I think that we're going to have to have a task committee whose job is to take that and clean it up and rewrite it, trim out the part that doesn't have to be there, condense it, so that we have something that's just a manual that a person can handle and can cope with, and we can expect our employees to be able to follow it. You can't expect each employee to have memorized a whole volume of the encyclopedia. It just doesn't make sense. And we should have a task force that works on that, at making what we do usable.
Yes, I agree with that completely, with what Alan has said. And I might use a shorthand to say codify it in a way that it's usable. And I just want to tell Alan that unfortunately what we have now is a situation where we don't even have a record for years at a time of what resolutions were even passed. We don't have the gigantic mess that you want to turn into some kind of a handbook or a code. So, but you're absolutely right. You know, we should keep the record, the resource material, and turn it into something usable, and that's what I meant by accessible.
One of the first questions that I'm puzzled about right now is if we're going to record the meetings with Zoom or some other type of recording, do we have any use for minutes? It seems to me that the minutes are where it really is established that you did pass this motion or that motion and what the text of that motion is, because it's very easy to misunderstand what it was that you did, even if you have a tape of it. People don't always hear the same thing on the tape.
Yeah, I have a comment on that, too. I don't want to dominate the conversation, but I do have a comment on that. And that's actually an aspect of, I know, Alan, I think, are you an attorney?
No, but
I thought you were. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But, you know, when you talk about legislative interpretation, statutory interpretation, that's what you do. You look to what the law says, but if you sometimes find something that's vague or it's not exactly clear what they mean, you go back and you look at the deliberations of the body that passed the legislation, or in this case, a PMB resolution, to get the meaning of it. And if you can go back and listen to the debate and hear what each side was saying about it, and then look and see what they voted on, it helps you to flesh out something that might not be clear just by looking at the actual wording of it. But that's where I think we still would need bylaws, because what the bylaws do is they separate out, as you say, what was done. And that's why Robert's Rules description of how to take minutes is helpful. It doesn't include all the debate and the conversation and the back and forth. It includes what motions were made, whether they passed, if it was if a vote was taken instead of a unanimous consent, then you record who voted and who voted how, and then again the exact text of what was voted on, and that is very useful as a shorthand so that you can go through and find these things. And then the proposal was to make that even easier to use by taking out the resolutions that constitute policy and collecting them separately. And then the final step would be what Alan suggested, turn it into some kind of a handbook or a codification so you don't have to have everything in one place, but you take out what's current and what's necessary for day-to-day operation. Organizations everywhere do this. We don't have to invent the wheel. It's been done before. We just have to find something we're comfortable with, and we can copy what else has been done. And we can add our own, changes to it to make it suit us. But we don't have to invent the wheel.
I would like to say that I do think that we should make it policy that minutes are prepared after each meeting and copies are sent to everybody well before the next meeting, so you all have a chance to look at what's going into the minutes and say, oh, no, that's not what we did. So you can bring it up in time to get it corrected by the next meeting, because you should always get the minutes corrected as fast as you can instead of waiting till 2 years later to go to a courtroom to try to thrash through the conversation. Do it right now while it's fresh. So I beg to have a policy that we will always correct or study the minutes for a chance to correct them even before the next meeting.
I agree. Okay, I want to ask you, we've been doing now, since we were trying to get quorum, not quite 1 hour, is the group, I have not hearing from everybody something that maybe you're concerned about that's not on this agenda, but regards to the elections and possible another referendum anyway, some way to prevent or make the next referendum cleaner, better, and maybe what do y'all think about the card schedules? Did you ever have at your stations the candidates getting a schedule of their carts so they could check easily to see that it was played correctly? I'm not hearing.
That we did get some notification of that.
Oh,
yes.
Good.
I also seem to recall that it was not a requirement. Some people, including myself one time, I couldn't get to the place where they were making the carts in time, and so I missed the opportunity to make a cart, and it wasn't required for me to do it, so it didn't hurt the candidacy. Of course, it probably missed a few votes if I think I'm a good person on a cart, which I don't necessarily think, but we did do that, and we were told when the carts were going to play. I think that was the 2016 election. I don't recall what it was in the 2019 election.
I think now, since everything is virtual and everything is at a distance, like you're not going to the station anymore, I think this will be a little more fair because you can just record it on your telephone and send it. We just need to have directions clear on how to do that. I have another question. Some of our candidates at KPFT are not
showing any kind of statement. So I was emailing the candidates and saying, could you please put your statement? I would like to read it. And the candidate came back at me and said, but others are not doing it, so...
Well, that's going to be a problem for them, Nancy, if the statements are required. But some groups deliberately don't put them out because they want to adjust them and they want to craft them, and each member of the group gets assigned a certain topic, but then they all mention the other people that they're endorsing, and they don't want to have people contradicting their statement, so they wait till the last minute to put them up. But
yes,
if someone doesn't have a statement, I believe that they will not qualify as a candidate.
That's what I want to ask the question, because we've had in the past candidates that did not put out a statement, and so they were allowed to run. So here we have around 20 at KPFT, and 8 of them have not put a statement yet. I don't know maybe they did today, I hope. So do we need a rule that you have to put a statement out, or you have to put a vocal card?
From past elections, there was a rule, and you did have to put a statement out. In fact, I think you were required to answer the long statement, or to provide a long statement, a short statement, and then the questions were optional. But the long statement could also be just a sentence. It didn't have to be a 500-word statement. It could be just, you know, you could just say hi, and that would be considered a statement. But if you didn't do something, you lost your status as a candidate. But again, we have to look at what the current NES is doing, and, you know, because these things do seem to change.
Okay, this is what I don't like. A new NES has different rules, and then a new NES of the next election has different rules. We can put in fair campaigns provisions some rules that are really important so that the NES just comes and, has to follow the bylaws, has to follow the fair campaign provisions, must go by the bylaws. So that is something that we can require, the NES to require, because it's in the bylaws. So that's why the elections committee needs to meet. This is real important. And if they don't, it's up to us. I mean, if this election committee doesn't get going or do something, it's up to us, because we're for governance.
Yeah, and a good example of that, Nancy. I'm sorry, Alan, go ahead.
I must confess that I have already sent an email to the election supervisor requesting that when she introduces each candidate, she asks them this question: what do you hope to achieve during your term on the LSB? I think if they all tell us what they would like to achieve, we would get a much better criterion to help us decide who to vote for.
Good point.
There have been questions like that. I don't know if it was exactly that language, but there have been questions like that. I wanted to share that for an example of what you're talking about, Nancy, is the new procedure for nominating candidates. We used to go around with a piece of paper and try to get signatures of people, and we needed to get a certain number, but you had to get two or three times that number, because frequently people who thought they were members hadn't actually contributed during the period of record. So you had to get extra signatures, and that's a phenomenon that may occur this time around. If people get 15 nominators to nominate them, the nominators can change who they nominate right up until the last second. And if all of a sudden a group of people withdraw their nominations from people, then that candidate may not qualify. So this stuff has changed dramatically in the time of COVID. It does need, you know, work, and it needs to be refined. And I don't know how, for example, this whole system of electronic nominating was developed. It didn't come before the PNB, so I guess it's part of those great powers that the NES is accorded, and they've probably developed that on their own. I'm not criticizing it necessarily, because it is time of COVID, but... I think, having rules that are pre-established and can be changed in some regular way would be a good idea.
Hmm. Did anybody have difficulty applying for becoming a nominator? I had trouble.
I did too.
How about
you? It was just a glitch. The system wouldn't take my phone number, and I kept re-entering it because I thought when it went back to require the empty fields be filled out that it would reset. I tried it twice, and it didn't reset. The third time I tried it, it submitted it without my phone number. Then I had to go through a long process of sending an email to the NES and explaining exactly what happened, and she got her assistant to manually enter the phone number, but it took about a day.